Excellent. Please pray with me one more time. Father God, I thank you and praise you again that we can all be here together tonight. We thank you for your word, which you have given us. And I pray that your word will impact our hearts tonight so that we can keep on living for you, Jesus. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who are you? Do you know who you are? Between the ages of 18 and 22, who was I? I was a building apprentice. That's who I was. That was my identity. I had the tools. I had the ute. I had the steel cap boots to show that I was a builder. But I wasn't just a builder. I was a building apprentice. That was my identity at the time. And believe it or not, I made plenty of mistakes as an apprentice. You might find that hard to believe, but I made plenty of mistakes as an apprentice. Let me just share a few. One of my first mistakes was when I was walking on my boss's roof. And we were taking back tiles because we were doing a small extension on his house. And I was carrying 5 tiles in my hand and walking on his roof. And then without warning, one of the tiles gave way underneath me. My foot went through the tile and through his kitchen ceiling where his wife was cooking a meal. And so there I am with 5 tiles in my hand, awkwardly hanging with my foot through his kitchen ceiling. And I've got the scar on my leg still today. And really, I don't think it was my fault because my boss did not tell me you're actually not meant to walk on the center of tiles. That would have been really useful information to know beforehand, but I didn't know that at the time, so I feel like it wasn't my fault. But he blamed me anyway, and because I was the building apprentice, that's who I was. So he just blamed the apprentice. And whenever anyone went over his house, they would see the bit of gyprock hanging from the roof, and they'd be like, because it took him ages to repair it. He's like, who did that? He goes, it was the building apprentice. He's like, oh, okay. That explains it all. There was this other time when I was a building apprentice, and I had to nail this piece of timber, this piece of fascia at the front of a house. Now, there is one thing you don't do as a builder, and that is you don't miss a nail, okay? And so I had about 50 nails to nail in, and a piece of fascia nailed in 49 successfully. Got to the very last one. Maybe I was getting a bit lazy, maybe I was getting a bit overconfident. Swung the hammer, missed the nail, missed my hand. I would have actually preferred to have hit my hand, but fit a big mark in the timber. And there it was, just stood out there for everybody to see. And for the rest of that building job, they'd see that mark in the timber, and they'd say, who did that? And they'd say, it was the building apprentice. And that's who I was. I was the building apprentice. That was my identity at the time. And probably the worst experience that I had as a building apprentice was this. When I was asked on a commercial site to put protection inside a lift. And so the lift was complete, and the builders were still working on the upper level, so I needed to protect the lift. So I had some foam, I had some plywood, I did it all really nice, I even drilled holes for the buttons so they could push the buttons and go up and down. So this was there so their tools wouldn't scratch the lift. And there was one button that I forgot to drill, the emergency button. And so the poor cleaner went inside the lift with all these wheelie bins, about 6, and he started going up the lift, and it broke down. And luckily he had his two-way radio. And he's going, that apprentice, I won't use all the words that he used. He forgot to drill the emergency buttonhole. And I tell you what, I hid for the rest of the day. But that is who I was. I was the building apprentice at the time. Do you know who you are tonight? Have you ever lost your wallet? I seem to lose my wallet once a week. And temporarily, you lose your identity, don't you? Again, do you know who you are tonight? Or have you lost or forgotten who you are? Well, if you are a Christian And if you follow Jesus, then according to Jesus, this is who you are in this passage. Look with me again in verse 3. You are poor in spirit. You are somebody that mourns. You are meek. You hunger and thirst for righteousness. You are merciful. You are pure in heart. You are a peacemaker. You are someone that will be persecuted. According to Jesus, this is who you are. And you are not just one of these things. For example, you can't say that, well, I'm going to be pure in heart, but I'm not going to be a peacemaker. Or I'm going to be a peacemaker, but I'm not going to show somebody mercy. We are all of these things. According to Jesus, this is who we are. And more specifically, from this passage, do you know who you are? We are blessed. We are different. And we belong to the kingdom. This is who you are. And so Jesus is beginning his Sermon on the Mount. And so picture Jesus sitting on a mountainside, teaching his disciples. And that's what a rabbi would often do. He would sit and his disciples would come and gather around him and listen to his teaching. And so it tells us that this sermon that Jesus gave is primarily for believers, primarily for Christians. He is not teaching in these sermons how to become a Christian. He is teaching how to be a Christian. But you can see in verse 1 and 2 that there are crowds also listening to Jesus teach as well. Let's read it again. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. So he's teaching his disciples. He's teaching them how to be Christian. But there are also the crowds that are listening in as well. And so throughout this sermon, Jesus will also say things that will help you, if you are not a Christian, how to become a Christian as well. But primarily, he's talking to his disciples. And so let's look at this first point now. We are blessed. Have you ever thought yourself as blessed? Jesus mentions this word blessed 9 times in this passage. Maybe you feel blessed when it's your birthday and you get spoiled by all your friends and family. Maybe you feel blessed when you take a holiday. Maybe you feel blessed by a particular person in your life, your spouse, your parents, your children, boyfriend, girlfriend, best friend. Maybe you feel blessed by a particular person in your life. And really, we are all blessed, aren't we? Because we all live in Australia. We all live in the lucky country, as people call it. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel blessed by simple things, like the sunshine, the beach, jam and cream scones. I mean, how good a jam and cream scones. They are awesome. I feel super blessed whenever I can get my hands on them. But there are times we don't feel blessed, isn't there? Maybe when it's not your birthday. Maybe when you can't take a holiday. Maybe when there's some type of relationship problem or breakdown in your life. Maybe when it's raining. Or maybe when the beach is 1 hour drive away, you don't feel blessed. Maybe when you can't have a jam and cream scone, you don't feel blessed. There are times we feel blessed, but perhaps there are times you don't feel blessed. But Jesus reminds you at the beginning of this sermon that you are blessed. As a Christian, it's who you are. You are blessed. But the blessings that he gives us actually seem opposite to the blessings that we would regularly see in this world. Again, he says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the persecuted. Now, at first glance, at first reading, these things don't appear to be blessings, do they? How is it a blessing to be poor? How is it a blessing to be weak? How is it a blessing to be persecuted? The types of blessings that Jesus is giving us here seem opposite to the ways of this world, opposite to the things that this world would usually consider as blessings. Now, to further understand why Jesus refers to these things as blessings, we actually need to go to the Old Testament. And one of the most helpful Old Testament readings for this sermon is Isaiah 61. Now, in the context of Isaiah 61, Israel have been taken exile from their homeland. They've been taken as prisoners into a foreign land. They've been captured. They've been taken as slaves. They're going to be put in prison. And they will be in Babylon for 70 years. And God tells them, his people, in this predicament that they are in, that they are blessed. Let me show you what it says in Isaiah 61, 1-4. So they're prisoners in a land that is not their own. And I've tried to highlight the bold is some of the blessings, and look for the similarities that are between this and the Sermon on the Mount. Isaiah writes, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." So even though they are in a foreign land, they are blessed. They are blessed because of the future promises that God has made to them. The future promises that he will restore them, that he will comfort them, that he will rebuild their city. And because of this truth, they are blessed. The Israelites, despite their current predicament, despite being in captivity, despite being prisoners, despite being homeless, despite their city being in ruins, despite being poor and completely poverty-stricken and broken, they are blessed because they are God's people, and they are blessed because of the future promises that God has made to them. They will be called oaks of righteousness. They are blessed. It's an unchangeable, undeniable fact, even though their current situation might not say so. And so in the same way, Jesus says to us that we are blessed. Even though we feel we live in a foreign land and feel like things don't always go our way, he says to us, we are blessed. Again, in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn over the condition of this world. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the kingdom of God. We are blessed. We are blessed because of the past, present, and future promises that God has made to us. It's who we are. We are a blessed people. Although these blessings here might appear opposite to the blessings that we would normally think are blessings in this world. And the foundation for all these blessings that Jesus talks about here is really in verse 3. When Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is really the foundation for all the other blessings that Jesus is going to give. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never been poor. When I was a Bible college student, I had a few dollars to my name, but I wasn't poor. I was always able to have food and have a roof over my head. I've never been, you know, so poor that I don't know whether I'm going to live or whether I'm going to die. I heard a story recently about a Christian man who lived in Pakistan. Now, Pakistan is mostly a Muslim nation, and he was in a part of the country that was a very strong Muslim population. He was a Christian. He was studying the Bible. But because he was a Christian, he was poor. Because he was a Christian, he was mistreated and he was persecuted. Because he was a Christian, he didn't have access to all the other facilities that were available to other people in his own country. And so one day he got really, really sick. And he could have died. And he knocked on the door of the local missionary and said, help me. I need to get to a hospital, but no one will let me in because I'm a Christian. He went to the person with power, who was the white missionary at the time. And that white missionary was able to take him to the hospital. They opened the door for him. He was able to pay, and they gave him the medication that he needed and so that he could live. I've never been that poor. I've never been in that situation. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are like that man. Blessed are you when you come to the realization that you are powerless. Blessed are you when you realize all you can give Jesus is your sin. Blessed are you when you are completely dependent on Jesus, completely poverty-stricken in spirit. Blessed are you when you are powerless spiritually. And what do? You go to the one with power, who in our case is Jesus. He says, if you do that, he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this is actually how you become a Christian as well. By confessing to Jesus that you are poor in spirit, that you are a sinner, and that you need his help. And there are so many wonderful blessings in here. And it's hard to go through them all now. But I want to highlight the blessing about being a peacemaker as well. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, it's important to make peace with people, isn't it? But what's most important is that people actually make peace with God. And so you are a peacemaker when you tell other people about Jesus. when you introduce other people to Jesus, that makes you a peacemaker. When you help people that are lost and you introduce them to the God of the universe through Jesus. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And so this is who we are. We are blessed. We are blessed with all of these things and future promises that will happen. And then this leads to the second point, is that we are to be different. Verses 13 to 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they will put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." As you live under these blessings which Jesus has given, you will feel different. You will be different. You will be the salt of the earth. You will be the light of the world. Verse 16, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." What it means is we live under Jesus' rule, and as we live under these particular blessings that he has given us, at times we will stand out like that Pakistan man did. And we will be embarrassingly different for Jesus. The time I was a building apprentice, I was felt embarrassingly different at times. Like I really, really stood out when I was an apprentice. But I've got to admit that I don't always stand out embarrassingly for Jesus. There are times where I just seem to blend in with the rest of the world. But as we live under Jesus' blessings here, and as we live under his rule, we will be embarrassingly different for him. And that's a good thing, because we should be different. I once knew a hardcore Christian, and he had the word faith tattooed across his neck. He was hardcore, and he stood out. Well, at least his tattoo did anyway. And we were both friends with a non-Christian. We were both praying for this non-Christian. We were both trying to help this non-Christian know Jesus. And both of them decided to go away on an overseas holiday. I couldn't go because I was a building apprentice. That's who I was. I couldn't go. And so they went away on a holiday. And I was, I guess, shocked when they both came back. And I heard how both of them were boasting about several girls that they had slept around with whilst they travelled overseas. You see, my mate was not prepared to be embarrassingly different for Jesus. He was not prepared to be pure in heart. And so for us, as we live under Jesus' rule, and as we live under these particular blessings, the passage that follows says that we will be different, that we will be salt, that we will be light, that people will see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven, that you will be embarrassingly different for him, just like I felt embarrassingly different as an apprentice. And the last thing that we see here, the last reality, is that we belong to the kingdom of God. It's who we are. We are kingdom people. And it says this clearly in verse 3 and verse 10. "Those who are poor in spirit, those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But also look at all the future promises that we have as well. All these, and we are blessed because of these future promises that we have. We will be comforted. We will inherit the earth. We will be filled. We will be shown mercy. We will see God. I mean, can you imagine seeing God? We will be called children of God. We are blessed now because of all these future promises that we have. Just like the people of Israel were blessed because of the future promises that God had made to them. And so, do you know who you are tonight? Let me remind you again who Jesus says you are. You are blessed. You are different. And you belong to the kingdom. You are blessed now, even though you might live in a foreign land that is foreign to Jesus. You are blessed because of the promises that God has made to you. The promises to those who trust in Him. You are different. You will be embarrassingly different for Jesus. And you belong to the kingdom of God. And I want to finish by saying this. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. I'm assuming that everybody here has seen the Lion King movie. And do you remember that powerful scene in The Lion King when Simba encounters his father in the clouds? And his father says to him, "Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember who you are." You see, Simba had forgotten who he was. He was too busy living with Timon and Pumbaa, busy living the Hakuna Matata life, the good life. He had forgotten who he was, that he was meant to be a king. But his father says to him, "Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. You are blessed. You are different. You belong to the kingdom. You are poor in spirit. You are a peacemaker. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember who you are."